Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Yeah, Chris, I'm trying to remember when this even happened, but the Donald Sterling situation and the, I guess there's no real other way to put this, the racist remarks and everything that was said from him. And what was her name? Viviana,
yes,
whatever
V
her name
Stiviano.
Was. V. Yeah. Stiviano. Well, FX and Hulu. I personally like, we were saying, hey, mm-hmm. do you like documentaries versus the kind of docuseries? Right. And you know I love my drama, so I am kind of all in on this. And we're gonna play the audio of some of the audio for the trailer here and ask everyone, are you intrigued?
Let's hear it for the fabulous Clippers. The new coach, Doc Rivers.
The Clippers have never won a championship, ever.
We are going to win this year, and it will change your life.
Look at you. Is that Havarti? Mm.
Are you trading DeAndre Jordan?
Excuse me?
This is my assistant, V.
I'm Mr. Sterling's right-hand arm.
Okay, we have a Ferrari.
Oh, hi, Mrs. Sterling.
I love my calendar, girl.
It's the rise of the takers. I hired somebody to follow the money. She's suing me.
I need to show them that I have the power.
Are you stupid or something? Don't bring black people to my games.
Wild. Yeah, that's crazy. And
yeah, oh, there we go. It's I heard a Ramona Shelburne podcast. She did a 30 for 30, actually an audio 30 for 30 based off of this series as well. And I would highly recommend you go listen to that because the real stuff is absolutely insane. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of it in this whatever you would, is this a docu-series? I don't know. I guess
a docu-drama.
A docu-drama, yeah. And very similar to that OJ series back in the day. And I'm excited. I'm definitely excited for it. I'm curious how much they're going to overplay it. You know, how much of this is, you know, like the OJ docu-show or mm-hmm. how much of it is going to be like the Lakers Showtime show where they take a lot of entertainment libbies.
Right. Everyone that was actually involved did not like
exactly.
Showtime. I think that's part of the reason it did not continue,
yes,
to be honest.
Is.
I don't
it
know if that
is.
Was the reason. But yeah, I mean, that was a crazy time, man. And the whole thing came out and it was just so random.
Yes.
And then you find out about when he owned buildings
oh, yes.
and
yes.
didn't let
redlining,
certain people
all that stuff.
Yeah, be, you know, live in the buildings. And then the whole V. Stiviano
so
part of it. It was just, and the hat thing, that
the visor was iconic.
That was just a bizarre
yeah.
situation.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, one of the first time, not to say Adam Silver, you know, it's hard for me to figure out whether a commissioner is good or bad. That was a situation where a lot of people said, well, good on Adam Silver
yeah,
for
it was
doing
his
that.
First big move.
It was his first big move. But he was there any other option?
No, that's what everyone says too.
Right?
It's the layup of layups, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I guess the it could have been like, oh yeah, we're gonna suspend him for 2 years. And mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I don't know. After it had gotten to the point where it ended up getting, like, it was kind of clear and obvious it was going to be a lifetime suspension. It was just, can a commissioner essentially have the stones to actually mm-hmm. banish an owner? I don't think that had ever been done, but yeah, it was a weird moment for that too. I completely forgot about that angle. And then you tie in the fact that, you know, it's crazy how many stars are involved in, like, mm-hmm. if you actually watch the trailer for everyone, I know we obviously just played the audio, but you know, they've got somebody playing Chris Paul. They've got somebody playing DeAndre Jordan. Mm-hmm. They showed
Matt Barnes
in there. Like, it's just
Doc
crazy.
Doc Rivers, of course.
Doc Rivers,
Lawrence Fishburne yeah. playing Doc Rivers.
We buried the lead there. It's Lawrence Fishburne playing Doc Rivers and Ed O'Neill playing Donald Sterling.
Yeah.
like, there's so many people that were just, that are massive figures even today, that are involved in this story. It's nuts. And I forget the fact they played the Warriors in that series as it happens. Mm-hmm. So you have that angle as well. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they have Steve Ballmer too. That's almost somebody where
you have to.
You can't. I mean, who even plays Steve Ballmer?
They might actually.
It has to be Steve Ballmer. It has to because nobody. Yeah. If anybody else plays him, it's going to be like, that guy's ridiculous. And it's like, no, that's just Steve Ballmer.
Right. If no one had seen him before, they'd say,
pretty freaking cool, yeah, man.
Hollywood, they're doing too much again. Yeah. No, that's just him.
They actually toned it down.
Yeah, that's nuts, man.
It's going to be good. It's going to be really good. I have high hopes.
Very excited about that.
June 4th on Hulu.
Hulu, they did, like you said, they did OJ. And they also did the Bill Clinton one as well.
Didn't get
so
as much pub.
Yeah, so and I watch him, and I'll definitely be checking that out and just seeing what angle they take on everything. This is another cool bit, Chris, and I guess Keon wouldn't count in this one because the Kings didn't make the playoffs. But this is a cool bit from NBA Communications. 56% of players on 2024 NBA playoff teams have experience in the G League.
That's insane.
56%.
That sounds wrong. That's crazy. Yeah. It's not wrong. I'm looking at it. It's from the NBA PR. That is not wrong at all. But that sounds like a number that's just like, there's no way you're telling me half of the players that are playing right now in the playoffs spent some time in the G League. But they, you know, it's true. I mean, like, you don't even think about it, but like a guy like Malik Monk spent time in the G League.
Yeah,
like,
they have a list of six NBA awards finalists of guys that have G League experience. They're five head coaches: Mark Daigneault, Chris Finch, Darvin Ham, Joe Mazzulla, Nick Nurse, and then the NBA awards finalists: Rudy Gobert,
right? Like
Malik
you don't
Monk,
think of that.
Yeah, Naz Reid, Bobby Portis Jr., Mark Daigneault, and Chris Finch. And this isn't like the like Major League Baseball, how, oh, I'm gonna rehab with the minor league team, and that's how they got on this list. No, they were legit on the G League team.
Yes, they were developing. They were actually doing what the league is there to do. And yeah, I mean, it's great that they also throw the coaches in there because, yeah, like Mark Daigneault's a dude who got started coaching the G League, same way as Jordy as well. Like Jordy Fernandez coached the Canton Charge, I believe, which is the Cavs G League team at first. It's like truly a it hasn't been talked about, but the G League is a massive success. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that you have a number like this definitely is a symbol of it. I think the fact that teams are actually using it like a minor league system, you're seeing people actually come out of that system, guys like Jordan Ford even, and then you have examples of Keon Ellis, and yeah, absolutely. You've got some guys who win awards as well, Rudy Gobert. The fact that it touches all elements of the NBA, I think, is sick. And you get like fun stories like Jeremy Lin too. Like Jeremy Lin kept his career alive before Lin's sanity by bouncing around the G League. He was on the Reno Bighorns, for God's sake, before Lin's sanity. And then he finally gets his opportunity, and it's one of the greatest stories in sports because he literally had it felt like a year, but it was probably 2 weeks of crazy games. And we know who Jeremy Lin is still even is today. And, and he had probably like an 8-year career essentially off of 2 good weeks. So I think that's really the massive success of the G League for me.
Does it feel like the G League has improved as a product and improved in its ability to help players form and develop?
Yeah.
And I guess the question would be, what did they change? I mean, the G League Ignite essentially didn't even work.
Yeah, no, it definitely didn't work at all. I think the big thing is, in a weird way, like players took it serious. I think it's kind of a two-way street, and you know, the league could have wanted to make it work as much as they could, but ultimately it was on the players to buy in and to take those games seriously and to not, because for the first couple of years it was a showcase. It was like, hey, we're going to put our rookie down there. He's going to average like 30 points a game in the G League. It's going to get you excited. He's going to come to the pros, and you're probably never going to see from him again. Now it feels like, you know, the Kings. We'll just use the Stockton Kings, for example. They have Stanley Johnson. They've got Jeremy Lamb. They've got DeAndre Burton, who spent some time in the NBA. You know, even a guy like Mason Jones. Like, they have actual real players that make it legitimate, essentially. Like, it's not like you're playing against one big name and then a bunch of dudes who probably are coming off the bench in Europe. Like, these are legitimate guys who could start in Europe, who could maybe get some end-of-the-bench roles in the NBA, but they're deciding to try and keep their careers going and playing in the G League. So I think it's just really the fact that the level of competition, people viewed the G League pretty much equal to those European leagues, whereas before I think people said, it's kind of embarrassing to be in the G League. I'd rather just go cook right in Europe. Nobody will know about it. I'll go collect checks, and then maybe once a month you'll see Jamal Crawford scored 57 points in the Taiwanese League or something like that.
Right.
And that gets your name kind of in the NBA circle. Now I think people understand, no, the best way of getting an NBA job is by being connected to the organization and having you be in their building or in their, you know, kind of in their area for a period of time. And that's how you get noticed. So,
you know, I think what you're talking about is somewhat similar to JUCO and junior college.
Absolutely.
And how, oh, well, now that, you know, Last Chance U came out and there
show.
Are,
I need a new season.
They're different situations here where you can say, hey, it actually does make sense to go to junior college for athletics.
Absolutely.
Or academics, either way, save some money either way. So I think it's great to see that change in the idea and the narrative of
stigma,
G League,
man.
The stigma.
JUCO used to have a really bad stigma.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. When we return, we have Fair or Foul. Did somebody have a little bit too much fun on draft night? And I got some things that have been annoying me as well. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Chris, I'm not sure you saw this coming. I'm not sure any of us saw this coming. NFL, I guess I should say we should have seen it coming as we joke about flag football in the years to come. NFL players will be allowed to wear protective guardian caps over their helmets for in-game use this season, the league announced. And yes, if you've seen them, kind of looks, they look like, I guess, what your kids wear, and it just adds to the helmet. If you haven't seen it, they're pretty funny looking.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to not get a concussion, they're supposedly they help. And you already have guys in the league. It's crazy, man. You already have guys in the league joking about this as far as whether or not other players should be wearing them. And, I mean, I think we saw this coming, Chris, but this just isn't going to go well. I don't know. Everyone's going to be shamed into not wearing them is what I'm saying.
I would think so. But at the same time, I mean, George Kittle does wear that weird helmet. So maybe not. I mean, maybe these guys do truly value, you know, safety over swag, which is not something that I don't think a lot of people are going to opt for it, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, just how the numbers end up showing if it truly does. Because if it does end up preventing concussions, I wouldn't be surprised if we see every quarterback wearing these things and you know, really valuable position players wearing them. I'd be shocked if I were an O-lineman, I would definitely wear one.
Well,
it'll be shocking. I think it'll definitely be shocking to a lot of the viewing audience, because when you first saw them pop up a couple years ago and during training camp, a lot of people had questions.
I got a question for you. And, Nate, you can get in on this. Your boy, I just say that because you're the Niners fan, your boy, John Feliciano, okay,
yep.
American football guard for the San Francisco 49ers. It just got released, people. John Feliciano on Twitter. Y'all bleeps better not be wearing guardian caps in-game.
He wears one of the weird helmets, I think.
Well, he said that.
Well, that's crazy. He was my most underrated player for the Niners last year. Great player. But yeah, I think if anyone's going to wear them, 100%, as soon as you said that, all the O-line, D-line. Like, they're smashing heads every play, no matter what. Right?
Question, do you think, I mean, I've seen John Feliciano tweet before. He had some things to say during, I think, after the Super Bowl about whose fault it was. He kind of threw somebody under the bus. Do you think that tweet gets deleted, yes or no?
I don't know. It's dependent
it's
on the person.
It's kind of bad.
It's not great. Yeah. It's not great. But it's that tough guy mentality stuff. The it's so political. Everything, it just gets so crazy, you know?
You probably
it's a vague
shouldn't
term.
Have said
I should,
that. You probably shouldn't have said that if you're John Felice.
Oh, me? Oh, okay. I thought you, what I just said. I was like, oh. Yeah, I guess not. Like, if this rule happened 3 years ago when everything was so intense, you know, things have died down a bit, I think it would be a bigger deal. I think it'd be more, because anyone's looking for any outlook, because, like, you know, with the kneeing and, you know, COVID, all that stuff, I think people are going to get bullied into not wearing it. It's not a great tweet. It's not a great tweet. It's not a great
Yeah, somebody said he might get fined by the league.
I mean,
it's just unnecessary, but, you know, these fines, they're just chump change.
I don't think he's a big enough face either for that, because I feel like a lot of the times, it's like kind of how the IRS works. They want to make a statement out of getting someone. You know, like if you're the bigger you are, the harder you're going to fall. So
there you go.
All I know is homeboy better not get a concussion.
And if he is wearing a different helmet, I mean, that's pretty funny, but maybe he's just saying, look, you can wear a bigger helmet, but don't wear one. It's just, why?
I'm pretty sure about that. I remember him wearing that Kittle helmet. I could be wrong, but yeah, that's what I meant.
Let's get to fair or foul. And Chris, I'm going to throw this to you because you just happened upon this naturally as you're grinding film here on J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, so as I said earlier, my night pretty much consisted solely of watching J.J. McCarthy throw footballs. And, you know, a part of that was just hearing what the analysis was. Wasn't really looking for draft grades, but just people that I thought I trusted and would give good insight. Mina Kimes definitely gave great insight. The people at the Athletic Football Show gave great insight. And then I was like, oh, Chris Sims, him and Mike Florio. I know Mike Florio is a really big Vikings fan. Chris Sims, former quarterback.
Right.
Seems like a perfect outlet for me to find out about J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
And boy, oh boy, was he not in the mood to give good analysis. Not quite why you would think, though. I mean, it was definitely entertaining analysis. I don't know how quality it is. Just to kind of frame it, I thought it would be interesting to show the people. First off, here's how Chris Sims broke down Caleb Williams, the first pick in the NFL draft yesterday. Here's how it sounded when Chris Sims broke down that pick.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think Caleb Williams is special. And I think he's a like a gym rat savant, right? I just like being around him a little bit, I can tell he's really into it, right? This is a special moment for him.
Perfect. That's all we needed to hear. You just heard Chris Sims. Sounds perfectly normal analysis.
He said savant. You know, proper vocabulary. Absolutely. Beautiful. He's in a weird house
He's
or something.
He's in a weird house. He's
I don't
in
know.
Like a draft house that has like Dollar Tree Giants balloons behind
it. Jenga in the background.
It's a really strange setup. He's clearly very comfortable. And that ties us into, now everyone please remember how Chris Sims just sounded breaking down Caleb Williams. Again, the first pick in the draft. Let's hear how Chris Sims sounded breaking down number 10 in the draft, J.J. McCarthy. Just a little bit different sounding. I don't know. Maybe you guys can hear it.
And honestly, we've talked about it a little bit on the podcast and all that. He's got a personality and a work ethic and a persona that you feel like can lead your franchise in your locker room, right? He's the guy I said. Right. My daughter's boyfriend's right here. And I said, that's the guy you might want to bring in to replace him. And he doesn't even know. He's over there. And he's good. Yeah.
He's fixed on the craft. He's not listening.
Oh,
Nate, I mean, I think Nate's watching the video back there. Like, I think the video definitely adds an element of it, too.
If I could describe it, he's doing that thing drunk people do where they get way too close to you. They get in your bubble. He's in this dude's, I don't know who this guy is in his house, and he's pointing at the boyfriend. He's just trying to trash him.
I've been
that boyfriend before.
Yeah, you can tell that, the boyfriend's just sitting there like, oh, man, her dad is really drunk right now.
We're on TV.
Yeah, he's trying to bring him in. He's like, come here. No, he's a great kid. He's just such a great kid.
He gives him a noogie.
This guy.
Keep the door open.
So here I was just trying to find my J.J. McCarthy breakdown and instead found myself being like, is this guy, is he okay? Is he obliterated? And if you look at the YouTube comments, all of them, everybody kind of comes to the same conclusion.
But to be fair, you said the name of the show is...
It is Chris Sims Unbuttoned, and...
He's buttoned up to his neck in this video.
That is a great point.
The button is up to his neck, the top one.
Yes, he does have a very, very buttoned up shirt. Yeah, so, you know.
I don't know if that's
the point of the show.
Right.
Is that what he's supposed to,
oh, you get to see him in a different light?
I just don't know if that's necessarily like a good idea.
A follow up to this. Do you think he was in the same state when he said all that great stuff about Kellen Mond? When he was going to the Vikings, Chris?
He must have been, because he was obsessed with Kellen Mond. Mm-hmm. I've never heard Chris Sims wax poetic about a player the same way he did about Kellen Mond.
He said the best quarterback in that draft. That's just something I'll never forget.
It must be an annual tradition.
Yeah, you know when you have, like, you just remember someone for one thing specifically, yes. And it's like, I'm never going to forget that.
It's just also insane. It's just like, yeah. I mean, you know, if you know you're going to be on TV, like, just... You know, you just got to skip that night, you know? As somebody who had to do a ton of Kings post games this year, there's a lot of nights where, you know, I probably wanted to be a bit like Chris Sims, but you just kind of can't do that, buddy. So,
not really.
The crazy thing is, this is not on, like, Chris Sims's personal YouTube.
Yeah.
This is on NFL on NBC's YouTube channel.
Right. That was the surprising thing.
This man is collecting a check. But is also is having himself quite a night.
He's also bros with Kyle Shanahan, I believe, too.
I can see it.
So,
that tracks.
A little spot on.
Definitely tracks. Yeah. Well, you know, Kyle had some fun before that Super Bowl presser, if we
That's
all remember.
That's
right.
You know? That's right. He definitely did. All right. When we return, we are doing our draft on a bunch of different things. Be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140. Also, we break down what's next for the Niners as we head into day two of the NFL draft. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Okay, it is time for our draft. Guys, we have five subjects here. And 916-339, if you want to be a part of the conversation, text line, sack chat, call line, of course. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. So, guys, we have... five subjects here, and the way we're going to do it, we're just going to do first-round picks for each subject, okay? So, but same thing as a draft, you cannot take what somebody else has already said. So we're going to do it, and maybe you don't have the same pick anyway. So we're going to keep it pretty simple here to start, and we're going to go with drafting a Kings player. You can draft any Kings player of all time, as your favorite Kings player. You are starting a new Kings roster. You can draft anybody. We did a...
Rochester included.
No. 85 to now.
Okay. And we did an anonymous rotation during the break. And Nate came up first. Nate has the first pick in the Kings draft. Nate, who are you selecting with the first pick in the all-time Sacramento Kings draft?
This is going to be controversial.
Ooh,
here we go.
There's
with
different
the number
rules.
One pick? Wow.
Yeah, I'm not going to say Allen Iverson like Chuck did. I'm just going to go so modern NBA, a guy I'd like to see play who I think would be great, The Rock, Mitch Richmond.
Wow.
That's my call. I know. Could be controversial, but that's my guy. That's what I'm taking.
Okay. Mitch Richmond is off the board.
From Nate especially. Wow. Well, I'm going to have to go with C-Webb. I mean, he led the team further than it's ever been before. He's the best player on the Kings' best teams. This is an easy one, especially at number two. He falls to number two. I'm going to go C-Webb.
Great pick. I mean, no one blames you for that.
No, you can't. You really can't.
You know, I'm going to – it's tough. Right, and there are a lot of names out there because I'm even thinking De'Aaron Fox, okay, but just for the fun of it, and I don't know if he should be first pick, but this got said not too long ago, and if we're just having some fun with this, it got said not too long ago that if this guy played in this NBA, he would destroy. Yep.
I know who you're going to say.
Peja Stojakovic. Yep. I want to see it.
I think it's too early of a pick. I think you could have got him in round two, round three, maybe.
Okay. Well, okay. Now it's not like Ricky Pearsall. It's basically the same thing there. Yeah, I'm going to go with Peja. Obviously, there are a lot of names here that you can go with. There's Bibby, of course. I do think De'Aaron Fox is a shady, good first pick, to be really honest.
Wouldn't blame you at all. Yep. Vladdy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good picks.
There's a lot of good picks.
Yeah, Doug. Doug was just in the building.
He'd be mad. You know who you could take.
Imagine if Doug just walks in. He's like, I heard what you said.
Buddy Heald was on the...
Stop, dude. Okay. That's coming up in one of our...
You know who else you could have taken?
We got four other topics.
Tyrese Halliburton.
We got four other topics.
I'm just saying.
It wasn't that good here.
Alan, you get the back-to-back.
All right, I get the back-to-back. Draft your favorite Sacramento restaurant.
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
This is a really tough one for me. I said this out loud. I'm stuck between two, and I'll say the other one once I make the pick.
I don't even know where I'm going
to
go.
I'm stuck, but I'm actually going to go in a different direction than where Chris thinks I'm going to go.
Petra?
I'm not going Petra. I'll give my reasons why. I am going to go with Gumbo King first pick overall. Wow. I went for my birthday. It was outstanding. Wow. I'm going Gumbo King with number one.
Where is that?
Chris had what he thought my answer was written down.
Yes, I did.
Well, it's still on the board. I'm going Gumbo King.
Okay. That's great. So back to Chris then.
Yeah, back to me. There's a couple really, really good options. I would go with South if South was still open. Shout out South, man. I miss it every day. But I'm going to go with what I thought Alan was going to go with. I'm going to go with Urban Root because it's got such a good selection of everything. I don't know if it's got 100% like I would stamp it as the best food, but if I'm just going to tell somebody, go to SAC and you're going to have a good time if you go there. Won't be disappointed at all. Urban Root.
I was torn.
Yep. Nate, I can't wait for Nate's pick here. I'm so curious. What is Nate's view of
it's the somewhere best food? I brought up to you guys a couple times, but last night I was at one of my favorite places. The problem is the food isn't very good, but I love the drinks and the atmosphere. So I'm gonna give a shout out to Jungle Bird. That place, I like that place a lot.
Jungle Bird, first overall.
I'm gonna go with Sutter Street Steakhouse in Folsom. For sure.
Okay. Sutter Street Steakhouse off the board. We have a couple coming in here. Tang House on the board.
Tang House for sure.
Amid Rod says Fixins. I keep on hearing about Fixins.
Fixins really.
You know where else I could have went? I could have went number one pick? Morning Fork.
Oh, Morning Fork is
incredible. My goodness.
So good.
I'm happy with my pick.
Orphan Breakfast House too, I'm telling y'all. Orphan is
Jay
incredible.
Is approving all of these, which makes me feel better. All right, next one.
Nate, you got it. It's draft your favorite bust of all time. Somebody you thought was going to be incredible, never panned out.
Man, okay.
And I think there's different levels to this.
I'm not going
to
pick
very different levels.
I'm not going to pick Kings.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Just because
spread it out.
There's just so many options. I mean, that's crazy. Sorry. I mean, I was like, Ben McLemore. You know, I was high on Frank Mason.
Sure.
I thought Frank Mason would be what Davion is. Yeah,
that's 33.
That's true.
31.
I'm going to go with the guy when I was just pretty early into just being like a diehard Niners fan, AJ Jenkins for the Niners.
Ooh. Okay.
Second to last pick in the draft, receiver, very similar to what happened this year as I'm saying it.
Wow. Second to last pick?
31, I believe. 31 or 30.
You mean in the first round?
Yes.
Okay,
Excuse me. It was either 30 or 31. But he didn't have a catch with the 49ers, I don't believe. I think he played a handful of snaps. John Harbaugh, not a good draft coach. He came in similar to John Gruden and Steve Kerr. Took in that talented roster and built it. He did draft Alden Smith, but he botched that. So I thought he was going to be raw. I was so excited for the Niners to have a number one wide receiver to take over because I never thought Crabtree was that good, and he wasn't. So he just fell so flat, ended up with the Chiefs, back with Alex Smith, didn't do anything in the league.
There you go. Chris?
Yeah, I've got a couple different options. I got two football options, two basketball options. I'm going to talk it out. Reggie Bush for sure for me. I don't know. Does that count as a bust for Reggie? Like, he was okay.
He was so hyped.
He definitely did not live up to that level of hype, and Reggie was probably my favorite athlete. I think that might be truly like the most fan I've ever been of any athlete ever was Reggie Bush at USC, so I'm heavily leaning there. Johnny Manziel was a fun time. I don't know how much I actually believe Johnny the pro,
right?
But Greg Oden, huge for me. Loved Greg Oden.
Yeah.
That ultimately I would say wasn't his fault, but still would definitely be a bust. And another Johnny Flynn. Johnny Flynn,
man.
I love Johnny Flynn.
I wanted
at
to
Syracuse.
Go to Syracuse because of Johnny Flynn.
I was like,
Flynn.
This guy is the one. He had the headband.
Yeah.
He had the long shorts. He was maybe like 5'10", 5'11". I believed in Johnny Flynn so much, and even to this day, I believe he's better than Wardell Stephen Curry.
Okay,
so
all right.
I'm going to go Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush. Yeah, Reggie Bush was the first person where it was, that was around the age where I think I was getting ready for high school or whatever the case was. And it was the first time where somebody balled out and then it didn't pan out in the NFL where you thought it was going to work out because that's just how it does. And it did not happen that way. Yeah, I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to go Jamarcus Russell. I mean,
great pick.
Yeah, you really can't go wrong there. Yeah.
No one's going to argue it either.
No. We are drafting our favorite game day food and drafting things you would buy if you were rich when we return. Also, we break down what will happen tonight in the NFL draft. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Before we get to what the Niners will do, also start getting them in now. 916-339-1140. Shoutouts and closeouts. Who do you want to shout out this week? You can shout out Ricky Pearsall. You can shout out the NFL draft. You can shout out Kyle Shanahan. You can shout out a team who traded with you. Shout out the Bills. You can shout out your best friend if you want to. Your dog, your cat, your bird, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, anybody you want. But first, let's wrap up the mock draft. We already have people chiming in on what they would buy if they were rich. But first, we had draft your favorite game day food. I think it's back to you, Chris, for the first pick in the draft.
No, it is you.
It is me?
It's you.
First pick?
Yes.
Wow. Because
you just had the last pick.
I'm so nice. I'm purposely going to leave what I know you'll take.
You can do whatever you want.
No.
You do whatever you want.
You know
Look,
what?
You're
no,
trying
no,
to
no.
win this draft.
No.
You're not here to make friends.
No.
Here to
and
win
you know
a
what?
Draft.
And you know what, Chris? This is even with you dogging me out.
What are you talking about?
And this morning in the Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross show, when you gave me John Daly or whoever.
I don't even know. I gave you the Property Brothers.
Yeah,
or something.
You gave me the Property Brothers.
You would know them though. You love those shows.
No, but was that the Property version? I thought someone said. Oh, yeah.
I honestly don't know.
No,
who
he
they
said
were.
Something.
Said,
yes, Jason said something else, but it was the Property
when
Brothers.
When somebody said Home Improvement, I thought they meant the Tim Allen
yes,
show.
Yeah, I did too, but he was talking
and
about the Property
Brothers. That threw me off.
And Jonathan
that
Scott.
That threw me off even more. I want to recount
names.
On
they have
this.
A name.
I want to recount on
this. I was
going
to give you Jet Li because I didn't know who he was, but I guess.
And then I gave Christopher Law too short, and somehow he got it right. All right. Favorite game day food. I am still going to be nice to Chris.
I'm not going to take what
I know he would want. And I'm going to go with, if there's a really good nacho out there, I like a good nacho.
Like a bar, a nacho bar?
Yes.
It's got to be, right? Because you can't have that pre-made.
You can't have it sit, no.
No, you can't have it sit. But I like a good nachos.
What's like your ideal topic? Obviously, you got to have the cheese.
Yeah, you got to have cheese. Got to have guac.
On there, you know,
got to have
guac.
Cheese. Got to have guac.
What meat? Chorizo?
Ground beef?
Carne asada?
Beef, okay.
Carne asada.
Yeah, I like it all. Chicken. I like mixing it up.
Chris, are you next?
Yes, I'm next.
I know what
and,
you're taking.
Yeah, I mean, this is easy. I'm going to go with the personal favorite. I'm going to go with the wings.
I know.
Mean, if you bring wings to a party, no one's going to be upset. There's such variety. Mm-hmm. You got anywhere from plain to barbecue to buffalo to lemon pepper. So Absolutely going
wings. Are you ranch or blue cheese?
Ranch.
Yeah, me too.
Ranch.
It's all blue cheese out here.
Yeah, okay. That does not surprise me.
That means that you know. You know who eats blue cheese? You know who takes blue cheese? That's
the guy from
really
Snow Dogs.
That really understands. You really understand a palate. You really have a real
like the guy from Snow Dogs.
A refined palate for food. Amid Rock says lumpia for his. Joe Giro still rocking with his last day. Footlong sub, but from a proper sandwich spot.
Joe's not getting invited. Joe's getting invited off the rails.
This is the last day. Nate, what do you have?
I'm going to bend the rules because who cares?
Okay.
Shout out to both of my parents. I watch every Niners
Nate,
game.
We're not doing shout outs and closeouts
yet. My dad makes a nasty, in a good way, potato salad, and my mom makes a delicious spinach dip. They're both amazing.
You know what? I'm with you on the dips.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. You can just stack. Fun. It is. Stack calories. Easy.
Parents meals.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next.
Nate. Nate gets to close us out with thing you would buy if you were rich. The first
there
thing
you go,
would
Nate.
Buy if you were rich.
A house in California. Literally, a studio, one bedroom house.
We're not giving you that much money.
Okay. Yeah, that's way too much. Yeah. I'd probably buy a 90s M3 BMW or a Toyota Supra.
I do love those.
MK4 Toyota Supra.
We know Nate's a big car guy.
Bit of a car guy.
Why don't you buy VIP tickets to Juicy J Show?
Because we're friends already. I don't even buy tickets. I'm the last one streaming his music, so he's hooked me up.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Chris?
If I were rich, the first thing I would buy is a personal chef, 1,000%.
That's awesome, man. That's a great idea.
Yeah, you are the same. Somebody else on the Sack Chat said that they would buy a personal chef.
It would just be great. You just don't have to worry about it. Like, if I want a request, I can put it in and don't have to worry about looking recipes or none of the work. It's just ready to go.
Yeah.
Probably save so much time out of your days too. Second would be someone to do my laundry. I am also so sick of laundry.
Do you have
like a 3-year battle with my
washer and dryer in your house?
I do.
You're lucky. Yeah,
it's
that's
the worst. I mean, it makes it even worse. I just leave my clothes in the dryer after they wash, and it's just like I'm so bad at it.
Yeah. All right,
terrible.
I'm going. I'm just going with the easy. I'm just going with all the easy answers here. I'm
Lamborghini.
What did you go with the food again? Sorry, I'm writing them down.
Nachos.
You went nachos. That's right.
I'm going with. No, I'm not going Lamborghini. I'm rich. Okay, if I'm rich, you know what I'm doing. I'm going PJ, private jet. Okay. I'm up in the sky,
can
baby.
Can I go for a ride with you?
Sure.
Just one.
To your house.
Okay.
To your very expensive house that you bought.
Yeah, my one bedroom.
There you go.
It's
to
be
your
so
studio.
Sick.
Yes, to your studio. I'm going private jet there, man.
All right, so that's Alan's team is Peja Gumbo King. Peja Gumbo King, Jamarcus Russell, Nachos in a private jet.
That is great.
On my side, I've got C-Web, Urban Root, Reggie Bush, Wings, and a personal chef.
Mm-hmm.
And Nate's got Mitch Richmond's Sutter Street Steakhouse, AJ Jenkins, his parents' meals, and an M3 Mercedes.
BMW.
Wow.
Whatever. BMW.
Dude, Gumbo King, Nachos, and Jamarcus Russell's for some reason.
Alan did not think about it. It's a lot of good team chemistry.
Yes.
I just don't know if it's good for
I have the most cohesive team.
Yeah. Alan thought about the team aspect of
it.
You know?
That's awesome.
That
man.
Is incredible. Outstanding. Shout outs and closeouts. Get them in. They're starting to come in right now. Shout out. To my, this person has a pet bird. Shout out to my bird.
There we go.
Yeah, we do not pet shame on this show. Another one, shout out to my uncle, always holding it down for me, helps me train in baseball. Great stuff there. From the 916, shout out to my daughter, volleyball tournament.
Ooh.
Chris, volleyball tournament. This summer, you have to you got to get some W's. Then when you go to a tournament, it's almost that time.
Yes, that's right.
Summer ball is coming around the corner.
Yeah, I got an email the other day for a golf league that I was like, is it really getting towards that time of
season?
You
do a golf league?
I have never done it before, but I got an email for it, and it definitely perked my ears up a bit. So it's like $20 a round. So yeah, it's definitely getting towards. That time of the year where outdoor activities are
get me
must.
Back into golf, guys.
Let's
bring
do
me
it.
In.
You keep saying that, just you know.
You guys don't play though. You haven't played since like the first month you
last
worked
year.
Here.
Yeah.
Oh, together? No.
Yeah.
But the summer's around the corner. You know, we're still working on maybe the.
We got to get the Dave Golf Tournament, right?
We got the Dave Golf Tournament. That is with media. Yep. And then we're doing golf with some of our listeners that we are working on that as well. So
this is all real?
Yes. There is a lot coming down the pipe this summer. Continue to listen to Sals and Watkins. Nate. Real quick.
Yeah. Before
we get out of here, Nate, Brandon Ayuk, Debo, are they on the team come Monday?
Yes.
Both of them.
Yes. And then a quick shout out to my friend Alex Sherman, just had a kid this week.
Nice. There you go.
Just real quick. Yeah.
Congrats. Chris, Debo, Ayuk, are they both on the team come Monday?
No, I think Debo's gone just because I like drama.
I think I like the juice. That Debo is gone as well. Too many cooks in the kitchen and not enough Gumbo King. Thank you for listening to Stiles and Watkins. Thank you to Emil Fragoso doing an outstanding job for us. Nate Littlefield, thank you as well. Thanks for listening all week. We got you next week getting you ready for the King. Well, the King's offseason is here. And what is next? For them, also all the NBA talk you could want and NFL and Major League Baseball because I just love it so much. Thank you again, Stiles and Watkins. You have the drive, guys. Up next, Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper, Jay Johnson. Enjoy your weekend. And until Monday, secure the bag, light the beam.